Good morning. Former Vice President Dick Cheney pulled the D word out of his lexicon during an award acceptance speech at the Center for Security Policy.
It's time for President Obama to make good on his promise. The White House must stop dithering while America's armed forces are in danger.
Oh, really? Says White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs.
What Vice President Cheney calls dithering, President Obama calls his solemn responsibility to the men and women in uniform and to the American public.
Well, while these people are fighting in on Capitol Hill, we've got men and women whose lives are in danger in Afghanistan. Joining us again to talk about this is Sam Gardner, retired Air Force colonel. And Sam, you were saying earlier that it's shocking that the same administration that thought it was not okay to criticize the commander-in-chief when that commander-in-chief was President Bush are now criticizing President Obama. Is that actually they called that a security thing, that when you criticize the commander-in-chief in times of war, that it became a security issue? Is that the case here?
Well, I think it's valid to discuss strategy. The thing that concerns me is that the vice president offered no suggestions on how to make it work. You know, how do we make the Karzai government uncorrupt? How do we improve the army of Afghanistan? He just the notion of talking about dithering is a personal attack, not a helpful strategy discussion. That's the thing that's so bad. And then you have to remember that during the Bush administration, people that even said things like, well, maybe we didn't have enough troops in the initial invasion of Iraq, were called unpatriotic for having said that. So I don't think that's true, but it shouldn't be a political football when we're trying to decide issues that really need to be debated, not attacked.
So you heard Press Secretary Robert Gibbs saying that Dick Cheney is basically wrong, that President Obama is taking his time out of respect for the men and women in Afghanistan in uniform. And they're certainly not calling the critics unpatriotic. Is this the kind of thing where the White House needs to spend time quieting these critics?
Well, they probably do, let me just get... I mean, it's important to understand what's going on while it's taking time, because it is in such contrast to the Bush administration. This morning, as we speak, the United States is meeting with the NATO defense ministers in Slovakia, and they're talking about Afghanistan. The purpose is to get them on board with a new strategy. Now, that's the thing that the Bush administration didn't do. You know, a third of the troops in Afghanistan are non-Americans. So it's very important that we not have a unilateral White House decision that upsets the allies. So part of what's going on is this notion of developing some consensus on the way ahead. And I think that's a very important thing to do. I frankly don't define that as dithering.
But there's a lot of criticism that this uncertainty, while we sit here and wait for President Obama, while he's doing research, the troops are out there not really knowing what their strategy is. For troops on the ground, is this waiting game deleterious? Could their morale be going down while we're waiting?
It doesn't sound like it, no. I have to say, you know, troops are very narrowly focused on what they're doing. Sure, they hear what's going on, but, both the historical studies and research have shown that, you know, they really focus on the very narrow environment of what's going on. I think the other important point is the direction we're going to end up going, I think. We're going to end up after this saying we're going to have to emphasize, spend more time on training the Afghan security forces. And that, you know, that's going to not necessarily mean more troops, but it's going to mean a change in focus. I think that will be an important strategy change. I think that'll be supported by the NATO allies. And I think that even the American people, who seem now to be losing faith in that war, will even be more supportive, because it's, you know, it's the step towards are disengaging at some point.
So Sam Gardner, a retired Air Force colonel, we've also been hearing criticisms from NATO leadership that they feel like President Obama is taking too long. And I'm wondering if you can give us a historical perspective. When we look at back at major offensives, say, in World War II, World War I, I mean, we look at D-Day and many people see that as that was the one day, this sudden, you know, successful, brilliant attack. But that's also an attack that took months and months and months to plan, right? So military engagements are just not quick, right?
No, well, what's not quick in this case is the deployment of additional troops, if that were to be a decision. You know, it would be into 2010 before we got any additional people there. The thing that's different between now and the D-Day invasion was there was already a very strong agreement on the objective. The objective was to destroy the German army. We don't have that kind of consensus in Afghanistan. Is the objective to prevent Al-Qaeda from being there? Is the objective to destroy the Taliban? Or is the objective to build a strong Afghan government? So that is a very open for discussion. Destruction of the German army was not an issue that we needed to sit around and talk about.
Maybe if France had had a government that many of its people felt was illegitimate, it might have complicated D-Day a little more, right?
Well, it did. In fact, there was. You know, we had De Gaulle was in the UK,
right.
And he was interfering with operations as it was. We didn't need any more French help then.
So how much time does President Obama have? Is this an open-ended question that he just needs to make sure that his decision is correct before he makes the decision?
No, I think that you will see this coming out now that the NATO ministers have met. We will be seeing a decision soon. And I think it's important to remember that this is part of a huge strategic problem that the White House is dealing with. This morning, we're going to hear whether or not the Iranians have agreed to that enrichment proposal
right. That
was agreed in Vienna. We're talking about issues that are surfacing in Iraq, and they're not being able to move forth with the next
election. Right.
There's the Kurdish problem. There's the West Bank and the Israeli problem. It's a whole range of strategic issues that really have to be orchestrated together.
Right. Okay, it's going to be complicated. We'll see if President Obama makes that decision within the next couple of weeks. Thanks. That's Sam Gardner, retired Air Force colonel. And one of the things which the Obama administration has reportedly been debating was whether or not to shift the focus of anti-Al-Qaeda operations into Pakistan from neighboring Afghanistan. But if they do, they're talking about two very different enemies. We're joined by Scott Shane right now, a reporter for our partner in the New York Times. And we're talking about two very different Talibans here. If they move more into Pakistan, that's a different organization than the one that's in Afghanistan, is it not, Scott?
Yes. We in the media often just refer to the Taliban, but in fact there is the Afghan Taliban and the Pakistani Taliban, and they have different histories and different goals. The Afghan Taliban are what we are used to sort of talking about historically. They were the fundamentalist religious students who in the 90s consolidated power in Afghanistan, and their goal is still to retake power in Afghanistan. Of course, they were kicked out by the American troops invading after 9/11. But they've made some progress in a broad insurgency in Afghanistan. They want to seize power in Kabul. The Pakistani Taliban also have that name, which just means religious students. But they really arose as a formal group only in 2007. And their focus is on overthrowing the government of Pakistan. Their relations with Al-Qaeda are quite different. They are ethnically and religiously quite similar, but their focus is different. And in fact, there's some signs that the Afghan Taliban are not very happy about the Pakistani Taliban's attempt to overthrow and attack the Pakistani government.
The recent bombing operations against the military.
Exactly, which are going on right now, because my colleague Suad McKennett, who's in Pakistan, interviewed a Afghan Taliban commander, I should say, this week, and he said that they essentially see it as a distraction to be fighting a Muslim army like the Army of Pakistan. And the Afghan Taliban are really very focused on Afghanistan, don't want anything kind of interfering with their what they hope will be a march to restore their own power.
Do they share any kind of resources or personnel?
Well, it's very complicated, and certainly historically there's been and still is a lot of cross-border activity, and both of the Taliban's their ethnic base is the Pashtun in the sort of border area of both countries. And their religious outlook is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
But their strategies are quite different. Their focus is quite different.
Okay. Scott Shane is a reporter for our partner, The New York Times. He joined us from Baltimore.